Here in the House is State Representative Dan Brady. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, gentlemen. Kevin, Scott. Kevin, nice to be with you from your old B-104 days.
Yeah, nice to see you again. I have not seen you since we received the Dan Brady bobble hand doll.
Yes.
And
no. No resemblance.
The bobble head doll looks like Adlai Stevenson, I think. Have you heard that?
I think it's more of a cross between Bill O'Reilly and Vladimir Putin. Yeah, it's you know what? It was for a good cause.
Yeah,
let's leave it at that for Autism McLean.
It was.
It's raised some money.
And did you say, yeah, that's the hair? That's the hair color?
The hair is pretty close. The hair is pretty close. It might be a little more hair than I actually have.
A little darker, too.
I don't know. There's a lot of gray in there. I don't know about that.
All right.
I'm glad it's in your collection. I'm very honored.
Hey, enough of that.
Let's talk
Springfield, shall we? Well, you heard Eric. Well, you were busy. You were on the phone. This guy's working all the time. But in our news this morning, you and Chapin Rose have a design to help the mass, I'll call it the mass exodus of college-age kids leaving the state to go to school somewhere else. So talk about your plan, and then I've got a couple of questions for you.
Well, the plan is to really learn from what we've been through in the last couple of years. And even before we had our budget problem, budget mess, or impasse, the numbers of those who were migrating out of Illinois, those being students, was increasing. And the decline of state funding to our state universities was increasing, that decline. In 2000 alone, there was over 4,700 students that went out of Illinois. So, Senator Rose and I, and Senator Rose had really been working on his plan. I had a separate plan going and a separate proposal, and we kind of came together with some other colleagues of ours. And we're trying to zero in on learning from what we've been through, the mess we've been through, and try and find some positives out of this whole thing. One of the things we've learned is through the course of the higher education side of things and the budget impasse was, one, how difficult higher education took it on the chin financially. Number two, what we heard back from not only administrators and others in the universities, but the students. And the students were talking about the bureaucracy and the layers of what it takes to get into some of our Illinois universities, and that good students with good GPAs and good grade point averages were being turned away from certain universities, and how can that whole process be streamlined? That'd be one starting place to focus on trying to get more students to stay in Illinois and attend our universities. And so in this proposal, which is going to be filed here very shortly, we talked about the other day here in Bloomington, Senator Rose and I, and so we laid that out. And it's trying to not only streamline the process, it's trying to put the brakes on a little bit, the exodus of students leaving Illinois, because once they leave, the figures show they're not coming back. And then third, look at from a funding side of things, what we can do to help from what we've been through and learn from. Because if we come out of this whole situation, don't learn anything to try and do something better for higher education, then I think obviously it's shame on us. And if anything, I believe that the face of higher education in the state of Illinois has changed forever, not only because of the budget impasse and the problems we've had, but prior to that, we've got to learn how to do things more efficient. We've got to learn how to attract our brightest and our best, our own students, and get them and keep them in schools here in Illinois. So this is what it's all about.
So let me see if I have this right. In your proposal, it would be there would be one form to fill out for all the state universities.
Actually, an app process.
Right.
That's correct. And one of the things that that would be able to do is that if you get this done, you do it through the app process, you go on and you're turned down by your first choice. You would be directed then into a second choice, a third choice of where you would be a good fit for you. This would be something we see giving some more authority to the State Board of Higher Education that they would have to work with designing and implementing this with the universities. And that, I think, in itself, with the continual application process, the continual fees of sending transcripts to different schools, and you know, for Illinois, can't we figure out a way to do this all at once and make it as easy and streamlined as possible? The students felt that particular process in itself is worth something, and then let's say the university side of things don't work out, 4 years, that it would direct you to 2 years, to community colleges. And so we hope, if nothing more, this starts the process of talking about some of these things that we have learned through the many hearings we had, through all the budget impasse problems, and trying to apply some solutions to the problems.
Have you heard from college presidents or boards? Because I imagine one university has some criteria they're looking for.
Correct.
To bring a freshman in as opposed to another university. How are you going to get one form to cover it all?
Well, that's in part where we have to start the discussions. But we are in hopes that in this day of technology that that can be overcome. Streamlining can be something that is the paramount to anything else that we can do for the students. And just in that in itself, we've heard some positive feedback from that process. Now, the other thing is a B average. A B average gets you into Illinois University. Other states have done similar things. And so we are hoping that we can at least get the dialogue started. Some of the other things that I had in a particular piece of legislation I may be filing here shortly talks about looking at what other states have done in a variety of different areas. And I think the universities are very willing to sit down and talk about some of the things that are in this bill. Are they going to like everything? No. But are they interested in some of the things that's been proposed? Yes.
Are you eliminating then anybody who has a below B average of getting into one of the 4-year colleges?
No, absolutely not. But I think that what we're doing is indicating to those who had a solid B average that you're going to have placement in one of our universities. One of the things that I have heard over the years is that, I'm not trying to pick on the University of Illinois, but let's say University of Illinois, families call up and say, my son wants to be a third generation of going to the University of Illinois.
Right.
He has 27 or 28 ACT and cannot get into the college of the school that he wants at the University of Illinois. He's on a wait list. Now, those are some of our best and brightest. And what happens when that happens? Very seldom they stay and wait for a wait list. They've got to keep moving their application process. So they're off to wherever else, Iowa or Indiana or around us or wherever else they're going to go. That's one of the ways that we lose the students from the very beginning, not to mention the unstable funding side of things, which is a whole other discussion. But we're trying to address some things within this legislation that would not only help the process of applying to university, getting into university, but the other thing is also looking at what are some of these programs that we're all offering at these universities? Are we duplicating? Do we need to have this degree and that degree in every one of our universities? Let's look at some of this that can be streamlined. Let's look at some more areas that would help the universities for their overall operations of cost. And, of course, we don't address it particularly in this bill, but I think there'll be another one coming talking about procurement reform, which is allowing those universities to get some of their hands untied behind their backs when it comes to trying to purchase things for these universities and what hoops they have to jump through right now, trying to ease some of that regulation as well.
So
that would be something forthcoming.
Are you saying that the state then would say, okay, Illinois State University, we've got this program offered up at three other universities. You're going to drop it.
That's a possibility, but what it's more focused
Isn't that kind
on
of Big Brother though.
What it's more focused on is looking at starting new programs. So in other words, to say if it's Eastern Illinois University and they're going to start this program, and there's three of them already offered in the state. Wait a minute. You're gonna have to meet a certain criteria, and you're gonna have to get the green light, if you will, to the State Board of Higher Education. Now, there's going to be some changes coming to the State Board of Higher Education as well, internally as well, and that'll be released down the road here, I believe. But the whole idea is trying to get a better handle on the overall what's out there and what are we duplicating, and what if we did differently, could we help keep a financial piece of things lower to operate for these universities? So it's a start. It's a start of a dialogue. It's a start to talk about the type of things that we've heard, and hopefully to come out of the problems we've had with some positives. Now, this isn't going to be embraced by everybody, but very little in a piece of legislation ever is, but it starts the discussions, and that's what we're interested in doing. And I think most universities, if not all, want to be part of a discussion and want to be at the table when we're talking about potential changes to higher education in the state of Illinois.
Another thing,
for the better.
And you mentioned these legacy kids can't get in.
Yes.
Another problem. Well, it's not a problem.
And these kids, we're not sending shipwrecks to these universities. We are sending, I mean, these are good, solid students as far as grades go. And once they turn from Illinois, they don't, you know, stats show they don't come back here. And we're losing them at a rate where we have to do something about it. So we, meaning Senator Rose and I and others that have talked about this, you know, we're trying to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. We've seen enough of the problem. That's easy to identify. The hard work comes to trying to come up with some solutions.
We talked to college presidents, and one of the things they recruit foreign students.
Correct.
And a lot from China. University of Illinois gets a lot of kids to come to school from China.
Yes.
Those are positions that these legacy kids can't get into. I mean,
well, it closes out positions.
And the reason
for
they do that is because they're paying big
money.
Bucks.
Absolutely. And
to come to our universities.
We get back to the almighty dollar. And obviously, the funding side of things has been a huge handicap to our state universities. And that's something I don't see, you know, some magic wand coming into the equation here in the future, in the near future of Illinois. So we have to look at things we can control and things that we can make better and things we can streamline. And when you can figure out ways to keep students in Illinois and going to our universities here in Illinois, and if it takes adjustments and processing, application, grades, you know, let's look at it. Let's at least talk about it. And that's a big part of what this legislation is.
How about taking a page from President Trump, America first, Illinois first? Kids from the state of Illinois go to the top of the list.
Hey, at one time, scholar students in Illinois received a stipend, if you will, and got into any state university in Illinois that they wanted to when they were an Illinois state scholar. That's since changed, obviously, years ago. But at one time, the emphasis was on, like you just said, Illinois students. And let's make sure we can get our Illinois students into our institutions of higher education. And this is going back, looking at that, looking at ways that we can do that, and listening from those who have said, boy, if you just did this, this would be a step. If you just did that, that would be a step. We know it's not going to be embraced by everybody, but let's get the discussion started, and let's, you know, we just can't idly sit by after what we've been through. We got to be part of the solution.
All right. Let's talk about gasoline tax. That's being bantied about here.
Let's talk about that and clear
gasoline
the air.
Gasoline tax.
As you say in your business. Let's clear the air.
Let's clear the air. Because
yeah.
I know you want to say something, and I saw your cousin Pat posted something on Facebook, and I understood that you weren't for a gasoline tax. What I understood was somebody asked you about a gasoline tax, and your answer was basically, well, it's not will there be a gasoline tax, it's how much is it going to be.
Right.
You have a feeling that we are going to have an increase. Not that you're for it.
Correct.
But you have a feeling that we're going to see a gas tax increase.
I have no plans for a gas tax increase. I have not ever said I would support a gas tax increase. What I was asked was, how high do you think we would see a gas tax go? And my answer was simply that I believe they, and when I was thinking they, I'm reverting back in my mind to groups that have come to Springfield, pushing for a capital bill. I agree we need a capital bill, but the gas tax is not the preferred way, in my opinion, that we're going to get there. I don't know that we're ever going to agree on something like that. There's maybe some other ways to do it. So with that being said, I'm thinking that the other side of the aisle, I've heard a lot from there. I have heard other groups that have come to Springfield advocating that we need a capital bill. And they have advocated, some of those groups, on increasing the gas tax. And we already know we have a sales tax on top of a gas tax. Illinois has some of the highest taxes.
34 cents a gallon.
34 cents a gallon. So I simply said, I think there are those pushing. I know they visited me in Springfield. And they look at, this hasn't been raised in so long. We need so much infrastructure in Illinois. I do not disagree with that. But the debate's going to be, if we get to, and we haven't had a capital bill in a long time in Illinois, and it took a long time back under Governor Blagojevich at the time, the last time I remember, to get a capital bill then, and it's going to take other ideas. There's going to be some type of bonding, private partnerships, public-private partnerships, other areas we can actually cut within certain areas and apply that towards capital. I don't know, but I'd like to have that debate. But I'm not in support of raising the gas tax to simply get us there. Because what Springfield has shown us, if you do something like that, it doesn't it end up going to where
roads.
It's supposed to?
I know. That's what we had.
You know, we had the lockbox amendment, and that was a good step. But the idea is, and IDOT has had funding through their budget, and they would tell you, obviously, they need more funding. I don't think there'd be a state agency that wouldn't tell you that. But our infrastructure is in dire straits, and it needs how we come together to get that funding. There's other options than simply saying, let's raise the gas tax with no guarantee it's going to go to the roads and bridges. Now, with that amendment, maybe a little more guarantee that the lockbox would be there, but I'm not in favor of raising the gas tax so we can go ahead and simply do that.
Let me
add one more thing, because I think I have never, ever been in the sites that I'm aware of, the Illinois Policy Institute. Didn't even know the name for a minute. Illinois Policy Institute. And apparently this was started with an article that a Mr. Ted Dombrowski was part of writing. I called him on September 21st, and I asked him to return my phone call, left him a voicemail. At least the switchboard told me that was his voicemail. Right. To date, I have not heard a word. What I simply wanted to do was clear the air, as I just said. When they first wrote this article, this is how factual it was. They attributed it to the wrong Brady. Now,
a million of them.
You would think, well, there's only two, one in the Senate, one in the House,
right,
at least from here.
Yeah.
And you would think after they learned that, you know what, we were wrong with that, so maybe he didn't say that. Maybe if we think of this guy that said that, well, maybe we should call him up and ask him. What a novel idea. Did that happen? No. So therefore, you got some people, and really not a lot, but run around, I want to raise the gas tax. I've never said that. And I was never asked point blank, yes or no, would you raise the gas tax? I'm answering you, no, if that was the only proposal down there right now for our badly needed capital in the state, that would not be the final answer for me. We need some other avenues other than simply say we're just going to raise the gas tax and hope the money goes where it's supposed to.
All right, we're out of time.
And we want to thank the governor for coming through Lexington
on
Saturday.
And thank you
for the honor flight. He was raising money. And, boy, what a bunch of good group of motorcyclists. And, boy, Lexington rolled out the red carpet. They really did a great job. And the kids from the high school band. And I'm telling you, it was hot. It was hot on Main Street in Lexington.
On a motorcycle, it's not hot.
Well, I know. But once they got off of it, and for those people that were standing and sitting and waiting, got a little long because they got a little behind. Just kudos for them for that hometown feeling was there, of really having pride in being there in Lexington, with so many people that turned out, and to those four, especially those four World War II veterans who were being honored, the last of the legacy around that area, from what I was told, and all of our veterans. But it was just a great afternoon, but boy, it was hot. So thank you to everybody had anything to do with that, especially, Mayor, Spence Johansson and all his group that worked so hard on that.
All right, Dan Brady, I was going to say we're out of time. I'm looking at the clock. We are way behind.
Way behind.